This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. The death of a Choctaw non-binary high school student is sparking discussions about the need to better address bullying, especially for LGBTQ and two-spirit youth. Today, we'll ask whether broader conversations about sexuality and race might influence bullying and what schools and other institutions can do about it. Is bullying worse than in the past, or are we just more aware of the problem? We'll get some perspectives and take your calls right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A pandemic-era program that helped low-income people keep up with their water and sewer bills is running out of funding. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports this comes as a federal report shows rural and tribal households have long struggled to keep their taps on.
Congress's Water Utility Assistance Program supported over 8,000 Montana households and ran out of money last year. A separate pool of water assistance funding for tribes is close to running dry, too. A federal report found tribal families are more likely to be in debt to their water utilities and owe more money. It also found that rural households experience higher disconnection rates for non-payment. Patricia Corshane with the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes says the water assistance program was a lifeline for those families, but adds that it's also helped households on well water.
When you have bacteria or something like that in your water and you're unable to drink it, you can get a bottled water system put into your home through this program.
Corshane says the tribes have about half of the roughly $600,000 they received left. She says families could struggle to afford clean drinking water once that funding runs out. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Federal agencies are asking for public feedback on five potential plans for managing Bears Ears National Monument in southeast Utah. KUER's David Kondos reports for the Mountain West News Bureau on the collaboration with tribes.
The plans are the result of a first-of-its-kind collaboration between federal agencies and five tribes to incorporate indigenous knowledge into the monument's management. Ruben Pacheco is with the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition. He says this is especially historic because public lands across the West often overlap with ancestral homelands.
So ensuring that tribal perspectives are meaningfully involved in the protection of these lands is a way to respect tribes, and it's a move towards what we consider repairing historical injustices.
The plan preferred by the partnership is Option E, which would limit some cattle grazing, off-highway driving, and camping. Rachel Wooten is with the Bureau of Land Management office in Monticello. She says the best way for people to make sure their voices are heard is to study the plans before responding.
The most helpful comments are the ones that provide new information, provide specific information about a use or an area that we might not have known or considered.
The agencies will launch a series of meetings to answer questions about the plans starting in April. I'm David Kondos in St. George.
In New Mexico, during a ceremony in Albuquerque last week, former Cochiti Pueblo governor and U.S. Marine Corps and Vietnam veteran Dr. Joseph Suena was presented with service medals he earned in the 1960s. U.S. New Mexico Senator Martin Heinrich helped retrieve the medals, which were stolen in the 70s in a house break-in. Heinrich also honored the veteran last week on the Senate floor, talking about his medals, which included the Purple Heart.
Dr. Suena also earned the following awards: the Combat Action Ribbon, the Marine Corps Good Combat Medal, the National Defense Service Medal, the Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal, Vietnam Service Medal, Rifle Sharpshooter's Badge, Pistol Expert Badge, and he also earned a Gallantry Cross Medal from the Republic of Vietnam. I was deeply honored to help retrieve these medals that recognize Dr. Suena's incredible bravery and sacrifices.
He was also recognized for his advocacy, especially for raising awareness of PTSD. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by Drummond Woodsum, a full-service law firm whose nationally recognized tribal nations practice provides services to tribal nations and their enterprises and to companies that do business with tribes across the country. More at dwmlaw.com.
The Indian Arts and Crafts Board promotes Indian artists of federally recognized tribes through its online source directory. Information on this no-charge opportunity available at doi.gov/IACB, who support this program.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Advocacy groups are calling for accountability after the death of a teenager following a fight in an Oklahoma high school. A medical examiner ruled Nex Benedict's death a suicide. Benedict used both he and they pronouns, and a relative said Benedict complained of being bullied at school before the fight. Oklahoma has strict statewide trans bathroom and healthcare laws, which advocates say encourages bullying against LGBTQ youth, who already complain about bullying at a far greater rate than others. Benedict's death is putting new scrutiny to mounting complaints about bullying in schools by a variety of targeted groups. Schools, which are the source of the vast majority of bullying reports, are searching for answers. Today, we'll ask about the causes for the documented rise in serious bullying and go over some of the promising strategies to offset them. We also want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Is bullying a new issue, or are we just now addressing it? Join our discussion by calling in at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead now and meet our guest today. Joining us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma is Kelly Blair. They are the CEO and founder of the Diversity Center of Oklahoma, chair of the Central Oklahoma Two-Spirit Society, and they sit on the International Two-Spirit Council. Kelly is Choctaw, Cherokee, and Seminole. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Hello. Thank you.
Joining us from Bemidji, Minnesota is Dr. Mark Standing Eagle Bays. He's assistant professor of the Clinical and Counseling Program at Bemidji State University, the president-elect of Society of Indian Psychologists, and he's also in private practice. He is Kwawilatekan, a member of that tribe, and also a descendant of the Mohawk and Pawnee Nations. Mark, it's great to have you back on the show. Welcome back.
Tilmanam, Sego, good to be back.
And our third guest today joins us from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Stephanie Paz. She is the ambassador for We Are Native and a tribal member from Isleta del Sur Pueblo. Hello, Stephanie. Great to have you on the show as well.
Thank you all so much for having me alongside such amazing guests.
You're all amazing guests, and I'm really excited about our conversation today, really pressing topic. And Kelly, let's go ahead and start with you. And Nex Benedict's death, it made national headlines. It was a big, big issue, resonated very powerfully across the Indian country as well. And the coverage frequently mentions Oklahoma laws and policy on trans rights, specifically about these bathrooms and healthcare issues. Please explain for our listeners, how does Oklahoma stack up when it comes to these laws based on gender and sexual orientation?
Well, you know, for the last few years, Oklahoma has had consistently more bills that have been brought up than any other state related to trans youth, LGBT people in general, which affects our Two-Spirit community.
And how do these laws and policies connect to what you know about what Nex experienced there at school?
Well, you know, there are bullying policies. There are anti-discrimination and hate crime policies and laws in Oklahoma. But in Oklahoma, we have no laws at all to protect 2S LGBT folks. There aren't any laws except for housing discrimination.
Okay. Well, on our show today, we're talking about bullying in general, but there is a lot of research indicating that LGBTQ or Two-Spirit students are especially targeted. Do you know of any policies or initiative that have been successful in reducing the amount of bullying that occurs for this population?
Not here in Oklahoma. We've not been able to get lawmakers to actually see the need for that as a state. Now, Oklahoma City has been very progressive in making changes to employment and anti-discrimination related to their employees, and it impacts our LGBT folks in a positive way. But it doesn't trickle down to our young people at all. And then also it doesn't help if someone's not employed by the city or something like that, you know. So there has been some really good evidence of, you know, same genders using the bathroom or assigned at birth, but not on a state level.
All right. Now, I did watch the video of Nex's family. They did get a police report. There was a police officer that came to the hospital where Nex was being treated after that fight. What else should have happened, specifically with the school that Nex attended? What should they have done?
Well, what we all have kept saying that should have been taken care of was addressing the bullying that happened prior to this incident, for one, because Nex had been bullied before this incident with the girls in the bathroom. The next thing would have been providing assessment right then after they had been in a fight. From what we understand, Nex had to be assisted to the office because of their physical condition at the time. And no nurse was called. No one was there to aid them in a physical way. They didn't call an ambulance. They didn't call the police to do an incident report. And so all they did, from our understanding, is that they called Nex's parents and said, you need to come and pick them up because they have been fighting at school and they're suspended now. So they didn't even assess, they didn't assess for any of those things. They also didn't assess for suicidal ideations. And that should have been also something that the hospital should have done, at least.
So what is it now that parents and advocates such as yourself are calling for? And is there any evidence at this point that a law was broken that can be enforced?
Well, I think what we want is accountability. The other day, the DA for Tulsa County made a statement saying that they were not going to prosecute the girls that were involved in the fight. They didn't find that there was enough evidence because they believe that Nex died by suicide. And so okay. I can't speak on the legal part of it because I'm not a legal professional, but there are things that they should have done differently.
Well, I know in that video with the police report, it was revealed that apparently Nex had splashed water on some of those girls. And that was an issue that the police said, hey, this could also, you know, they could on some level say that you were harassing them or you instigated the fight. So I know there was a little bit of a gray area there. But let's talk a little bit more, Kelly, also just about this issue with bullying and specifically targeting with LGBTQ youth and teens. I mean, is it getting worse now or are we just paying more attention to the issue now that it's more prevalent in the media?
I think it's both. I think that we have so much more access to people's lives and our environment and politics and abuse issues, anti-violence issues,
sexual abuse, all those different things are more accessible for us to research and look up and see how things are done, to know that they have rights. And at the same time, because of that, I feel like that has also encouraged people that are in a negative, wanting to do negative things to people, like bullying, like harassing. It gives them more access to know how to access vulnerable people. And minorities tend to be more vulnerable because they don't have access. To whatever it is, whether it's medical or legal or, you know, physical health, mental health. And so I think it's a combination of things.
Now, Kelly, I think when we think of bullying, you know, I grew up in that generation where it was pretty much face to face, right? Somebody getting picked down on a playground, somebody getting bullied on the way home from school. But a lot of this stuff now, it's not face to face, right? It happens online. It happens through social media. There are many different ways nowadays for a young person to be bullied.
That's very true. We have reports of people being stalked, harassed, told to kill themselves on platforms like Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, all these different forums that our young people like to get together with other people. And we even provide access for folks that are, you know, needing support, peer support groups that are online. And so kids and even adults are a target when they're online sometimes.
All right, we're going to take a short break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more with Kelly, as well as our other guests. And we are going to dissect this issue here with regard to bullying and what it means now in the year 2024, and specifically with regard to our Two-Spirit youth. So if you've got a comment or if you've got a question, if you have any experience with bullying, either currently or in the past, and you feel comfortable sharing your thoughts, give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Tensions are high on and off the court at high school basketball tournaments, but racist taunt shouldn't be part of the experience. A North Dakota school district is apologizing after student fans targeted Native players. They're among a number of racially charged incidents in North and South Dakota that community leaders say are on the rise. We'll talk about it on the next Native America Calling.
Pursuing a degree in higher education is attainable, and with a scholarship from Native Forward Scholars Fund, it is more affordable. From aerospace to veterinary medicine, as the largest direct scholarship provider to Native students in the U.S., Native Forward has empowered over 22,000 students from over 500 tribes in all 50 states in pursuit of their undergraduate, graduate, and professional degrees. Info and applications at nativeforward.org, who support this show.
You are listening to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Statistics say that students who identify as LGBTQ and Two-Spirit experience bullying far more often than other students. And bullying is also a risk factor for suicide. Today we are talking about bullying, and we'd like to hear from you, our listeners. Whose responsibility is it to stop bullying in schools? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Tell us, how have you or a student in your family successfully dealt with a bully? We'd like to hear your story on our show today. Phone number again, 1-800-996-2848. Let's talk now to our next guest, Dr. Mark Standing Eagle Bays. And Mark, we heard from Kelly give us some of that background there in Oklahoma. And of course, this tragedy with regard to Nex Benedict. But tell us a little bit more about what actually happens to a young person, a teenager, for example. How does bullying affect that person in the long run? What does it do to their minds? What does it do to them psychologically? What does it do to their health?
Well, just thinking about mental health and consequences of bullying, some of the research, right, that's out there today shows that there's an unbelievable amount of increased risk of anxiety, depression, and trauma, right? Regardless of the type of bullying or methods that are used, kids who are bullied usually feel shame, loneliness, again, anxiety and sadness, not to mention the higher risk of suicide and ongoing bullying can catalyze, you know, the ideation of suicide and or suicide attempts, of not feeling of belonging and just looking at being different and not connecting with others. And lastly, an area is where what we're seeing is a low self-worth because of what is happening and things such as stages that may be going through. Adolescent bullying can also leave long-term scars as they get older, right? Even especially in the teenager's psyche.
And Mark, what do we need to do? And of course, I feel like everybody probably has a responsibility here. It's not just adults. It's not just teachers. It's in many ways, bullying is something that's been in our society. It's ingrained in many ways. But what does society need to do to prevent these bullying incidents and provide just a safe place and environment for kids to grow up in?
That's a really, really good question. You would think it would be something very simple, that we take care of others so they can then take care of themselves and so forth, the community and the families. But it starts with ourselves. It starts with our families and how we check in with our own children. And it's important to remember that the victim of bullies often hide their pain. So how do we even see that? But educating ourselves, right? Educating others on what is healthy versus unhealthy needs to continue to happen, not just when something tragic has unfolded. But let's just say if a teen has been bullied, it's important for them to understand that the harm caused by them and other students is not their fault. So educating the person that is being bullied that it isn't their fault, empowering teens to cope with bullying behavior is essential. If they're being bullied, how do they deal with it? How do they take care of it? And also consulting a professional when we don't have the answer. So as adults, we have an obligation, not just the schools, but even our families, to work with our children. And if we don't know the answers, when in doubt, check it out, to seek some professional support and assistance from clinicians. Yeah.
And Mark, how do we know? Because I feel like in some situations, it's kind of a gray line there. I mean, there are conflicts. There are people that might argue with one another. There might be situations where kids don't get along. But when does it cross the line? When does it go from being something that we would consider on some level a normal exchange to what we're calling today bullying?
That's a really good question. I mean, and it's imperative that we educate ourselves on what the signs are of bullying, right? So there could be unexplained cuts and or scratches and or bruises. Does that constitute bullying? No. But if it's in addition to like missing or damaged or torn belongings, loss of appetite or changes in appetite, frequent stomach aches, headaches, or physical symptoms, or even just thinking of excuses where they do not want to go back to school because that's where it's happening. Also, some of the signs could be their mood's changing, they're sad, they're depressed, and it's especially after school. Other exhibiting behaviors could be, again, as I mentioned, some anxious behaviors, but seeing a decrease in self-esteem or withdrawing from friends and our social activities are all some signs of bullying. But again, as adults, as parents, as families, that we truly take this as a serious opportunity to sit down with our family to find out what is happening and what is going on. And usually when we start hearing a lot of our kids say, I don't want to, I have a headache or I have a stomach ache, and all of a sudden, the reason for this excuse is not facing that same threat or bullying that continues to happen, and yet they are fearful of sharing what had happened to an educator because that educator may have said, I need both of you to come over here. This person said that you did this,
what happened to confidentiality? Now the person's going to retaliate. So a lot of the kids are choosing not to say anything in fear of retaliation. And I know a lot of our teachers are amazing. Sometimes they're incredibly overwhelmed where they don't have time for that. They just get both of the kids look at each other and squash it. But that doesn't always happen. And sometimes the case is where the students just choose not to say anything and suffer in silence.
Let's talk a little bit more about what we can do amongst families and communities to combat bullying. And you've created a culturally applicable method for dealing with bullying. Tell us more about that, Mark.
Yeah, this is a method that I developed, and it's called a sweetgrass method. And I use sweetgrass because it's something our tribe, our people, and some of the people across Indian country use an opportunity to ground and to bless and to purify and just to reconnect who we are as Indian people. So I use the sweetgrass, and it's a culturally responsive framework for working specifically with Indigenous people. And this approach, this community-based participatory practice approach, essentially is it's used differently in every tribe, what works for that tribe. And the grass, as flexible it is, this approach is just as flexible in working with professionals that are working with students that may be having issues of difficulty of being either bullied or even for those that bully. So it's a process that works culturally, responsively with teachers that incorporate a cultural approach to healing, whether it's the bully or whether it's the person that has been bullied, but to truly emphasize the culture and how things can work together and how we can weave these methods and approaches for healing, not only for the students and the school, but as well as the family.
Well, let's talk about that child that might be a bully, because that's the other side of the issue here. For every child that is bullied, there is another person or child who is doing the bullying. What are the signs there? What should parents be looking for to see if a child is being a bully?
You know, that's a really good question. And there is no stereotypical bully. Bullies come from every background, culture and level of education. But some of the reasons why they do what they do could be like jealousy or envy of other talents or friendships, a desire to feel control. I need to have control during a stage of life when teenagers, right, when they often feel like they're out of control of what is happening in their bodies and their lives, they need to feel control. Other areas to look at is those that tend to bully have a low self-esteem. And causing teens to belittle others in an attempt to feel better about themselves is something that they do. Those individuals always have issues with anger management, narcissistic tendencies, you know, which can manifest into aggression, but also just trying to get the attention when they are feeling isolated or lonely. This is something that they choose to do in order to shift the attention to somewhere else. Or to somewhere to someone else, just to feel this rise, this feeling of joy and or comfort.
Well, Mark, earlier we talked with Kelly about how the cyberbullying issue, right, is not necessarily face-to-face thing. And I think for people from older generations, there's this view of a bully as being a big kid, a kid who's physically intimidating. But in the case of somebody who might be a cyberbully, that's not necessarily the profile, right? It could be somebody who's just completely using these psychological methods to bully another student. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. And you mentioned something that's old school, and I didn't realize I was getting that old, but absolutely. Like just looking at and thinking of different types of bullying, right? The physical bullying face to face. But then we have the verbal bullying, just the name calling, the indirect bullying, excluding or ganging up on someone or spreading rumors. But you mentioned this cyberbullying, where those individuals will send insulting messages and or pictures or threats, you know, by email or text messaging and or chat rooms. During the pandemic, we had a suicide near Bemidji area, and it was during the pandemic, And the family couldn't believe this was happening because all the students were at home. They weren't at school where this child was getting bullied in person. And it happened to be where it was all social media. And the child was just incredibly devastated with the insults, the messages and threats that just continued just to bombard the student to where it just became incredibly overwhelming. And the family was beside themselves because, again, old school, they thought this would be in person. Since we're doing homeschooling during COVID, everything would be okay. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
And another issue here, Mark, as I understand it, is that bullying is a behavior that's it's learned from people that they're around, either older siblings or in some cases parents. So what are some questions that parents need to ask themselves with regard to just creating a healthy home so that their children aren't encouraged to be bullies?
That's a really, really important question. You know, the children learn what they do and say, mainly from what they are hearing and seeing at home. And having the adults, being adults and being mature, seriously need to consider what they're saying, what they are doing, what they are watching in front of the children, right? And when we think about bullying, it's intimidation. Do we see that at home? Do we see aggression at home? Do we see domestic violence at home? Do we see things that are happening that incredibly incorporate emotions that may be triggering for others? But for students to see this, they learn this, and most times they project this at school. And I remember I thought it, I'm laughing now, but I was shocked. I was speechless when a kindergartner was fighting, and I thought there were two little cute kids going at it. Okay, they called me to come and work with that one child. I was working with him, and he looked at me, he said, "F you," and shot the finger. And I'm like, "Wait, how old are you, and where are you learning at this, learning this language?" I go do a home visit, knock on the door, and the person says, "What the F do you want?" while they opened it, and just a light came on, and go, I know exactly where this child is learning this. So what we say and what we do definitely impacts our children. What we can say, what we can do is very, very essential to the growth of the right words, the prayer, the encouraging the students, and compliment them or provide them a positive feedback, or just to let them know that they are doing something right is important, not just when they're doing something wrong. So we know what our expectations are as adults and parents. So we go ahead and honor them for the good things that are doing, and the things that we don't want them to do, we correct them. So we practice what we preach is what we say and what we should do. And that's imperative for adults. Yes. At home.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot today about, you know, what can happen at home, what parents should be thinking about, what schools should be thinking about. But what about the people who are themselves bullied, Mark? And what do they need to do just to protect themselves emotionally? Because when you say that these ramifications can be lifelong, the impacts of somebody being bullied as a child, it's just really frightening to think of what could happen to somebody who is bullied at a young age. So what can we do to protect ourselves?
Having someone to talk to is the first step. If you can't talk to your family members, talk to someone about it. Having at least an understanding of what is happening is essential. Sometimes we don't, and I've heard earlier of indicating the assessment, and we can't tell what is happening just by looking at someone. That we need to understand the seriousness of bullying and what had just happened, and looking at broader at LGBTQ2S youth, they are four times likelier to attempt suicide than their peers. And suicide is the second leading cause of death among people. It is something very serious. And again, just providing an opportunity for them to have a safe place, to speak to others, to have circles of support. They are able to come together in strength when they know that there's support around. When they feel like they are alone, they will not.
We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Does your club, institution, or other group need custom-branded apparel? A wide variety of T-shirts, hoodies, and much more, all custom-printed or embroidered, are available from NativeScreenPrinting.com, a division of SkyScreen Printing, who support this program. Lakota-made indigenous first medicines and eco-friendly personal care products are small-batch prepared in the Lakota traditions using sustainably harvested natural and organic ingredients, and all can be found at LakotaMade.com, who support this show.
I'm Sean Spruce, and we are back now with our conversation about bullying. And Mark, I'm sorry we had to take a short break there, but please go ahead and continue your thoughts there as we're closing out for the break.
Yes, I was really wanted just to make the point for support for the individual, and especially for the schools that are supporting the students, is to become familiar with the school's definition of bullying. We could see something, and we can identify that as bullying, where the school can say, no, that's not really a bullying issue, right? But to clearly explain, to clearly explain the bullying, as well as providing opportunities for staff and other educators, and students, and even parents on certain bullying-related issues, to have that available at schools. And again, not just when it happens, but to have it as an ongoing training opportunity for the staff, youth, and community.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Let's take a caller now. We've got Chanupa, who is listening in Pine Ridge, South Dakota on Keeley Radio. Hello, Chanupa. Welcome to the show.
Sean, this is a beautiful segment that you're talking about bullying, because many years ago, I was sent to relocation. They sent me to Beaumont, Texas. My grandma's a product of it, and a number of my people here on Pine Ridge. But bullying's always going to be existed because of this factor, okay? And Mark's going to agree with me. When white America does this type of behavior towards everybody of color, okay, they think it's a normal pronunciation. That's why the kids do it. This is what Mark said. He was teaching a class, and the little kid gave him the finger. Okay, where does that come from? Nobody wants to put the emphasis on white America. It's like that everywhere. Law enforcement, the principals, all of it, they're all guilty of it. And a solution to that that solves the problem, if you listen to some of the real news that's out there, listen to what Eddie Van Halen. Everybody in the world is buying Van Halen's music because of Eddie. Nobody can play like him. He was bullied when he got in this country. So my point, if we counterattack where it comes from, which is the people itself, we can solve the problem. Look what's happening in our country today. Everybody. In Lakota, we say this. That's why our children are sacred, okay? So as children, we let them play and continue on. And this is a great topic and segment that you brought out, Sean. Wopila to you for doing this job. And thank you, Mark, for pointing that understanding out about where that kid got that from. Hokawe from Pine Ridge.
All right, Chanupa, that is a really good call, and I appreciate that perspective. And Mark, Chanupa raises a very interesting point with regard to what are the origins of bullying. And any of your research and any of your work, have you ever found any connection? Was there bullying occurring in our communities before the arrival of Europeans? Or is this, as Chanupa suggests, something that the colonizers brought and introduced to our communities and our cultures?
Yeah, you know, there's always been a level of competitiveness, right? But not to the extent of bullying. And I just keep thinking of the second coming of the same old Calvary, you know, when the first experience of bullying when our lands were taken. And I mean, that it was incredibly traumatizing, and it was very extremely difficult to have that opportunity to process of what was just happening. We weren't asked. We were told. And having this replayed thus the reason of developing a culturally responsive approach to bullying is not reinventing, but going back into what works for our people traditionally, and looking at these approaches of depression or anxiety or even anger, and how we can incorporate our traditions, our ceremonies, our cultural values into what they call a bullying. But it's interesting that Chinupa brings that up, and I keep thinking, even going through school, is having to experience or re-experience when these lands were first stolen, and how we experienced mm-hmm. bullying for the first time during that time.
All right. Yeah, it's a really interesting conversation to have. In fact, that could maybe even be just a whole nother show. But let's bring Stephanie into our conversation now. Stephanie is a tribal member from Isleta del Sur Pueblo, and she's the ambassador for We Are Native. Stephanie, thank you again for joining us. Really appreciate your input here. And let's talk a little bit more about this issue. And again, like from a community standpoint, from a school perspective, there's other people involved here. There are classmates. There are friends. There are coaches. What can some of these other figures do in the event that they see someone they care about, a fellow student or a friend being bullied? What can they do to step up?
Hi, everybody. This is Stephanie. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate the discussion that's been happening. And just to add to what you asked, any bystanders, whether it's teachers, parents, other friends, coaches, or people in these administrative positions, it's very important that they intervene and step in. I know some people, including teenagers themselves, don't want to intervene for the fear of retaliation or just not wanting to make it a part of their problem. But it's important that the more people are stepping up to a bully and defending somebody who's being bullied, the higher chances a bully will step away and see, oh, God, person has a lot of support. I just can't tease them because somebody's going to hold me accountable.
Okay. Now, you know, again, I'm from that generation when I can still remember my dad saying, hey, you just go back up there, you punch that kid in the nose. You know, now here we are in 2024. Does that advice still hold up with regard to standing up against a bully? What does a young person need to do who's being bullied in a way to stand up or advocate for themselves?
I'm barely in my 20s, but that's something that I learned growing up too, was stand up to your bully by fighting them. But how a person being bullied can face their bully is just ignoring them, not giving them the satisfaction of their words hurting or making them uncomfortable, walking away, going to talk to a trusted adult or friend about it. They can deflect it with humor. If a bully bothers them, they can take a deep breath and start laughing. Sometimes this might throw the bully off. The bully wants you to cry, not laugh. So reacting with humor can surprise them and might leave them feeling like, oh, shoot, I don't know how to react to that. They can also stand up for themselves. That's a little hard, but with courage and practice with a trusted adult or friend, they can stand up not physically with any hands or fighting, but with their words. So saying no, stop it, even making little pretty clever comebacks like, oh, you actually made me laugh. What exactly are you talking to me about again? Here we go again. You're so boring. Wow, that's crazy. Just having little clever comebacks can offset the bully. But again, this is something that can be built up with confidence when talking to a trusted adult and friends. They can also stay close to their friends, so their friends can kind of be a shield to them from the bully. So there's many other ways that a teenager or a person being bullied can defend themselves from the bully without having to physically fight with them.
Okay. Well, tell us more about We Are Native and what you folks are doing to address bullying in your work.
Absolutely. So for those that don't know, We Are Native is an online health resource for Native youth by Native youth. It is from the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, but it's accessible to all people on Turtle Island. They don't have to be in the Oregon area. What we do is we provide lots of virtual services, including articles, videos that give advice to teenagers or Native youth on how to deal with bullying, how to respond to your bullying, And I believe Mark said earlier, bullying maybe doesn't just happen at the school. It can happen with other tribal youth in your community. It can happen with other people as you get older. So walking them through the steps of how to deal with the bully, whether you encounter them at work, encounter them at school, encounter them in college, on all walks of life. We also have a segment called Ask Your Relatives, which is live answers and questions from people who are tribal and who have, again, are in all walks of life and have lived experience, where youth can send in a question via text or online, and they will get a response from a relative that will answer. We also have a lot of resources for LGBTQIA plus members, and just support and advice on how to deal with any issues that come with that identity.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Let's take another caller now. We have just enough time to squeeze a call in. Jen, listening in East Texas online. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking my call, because I've been thinking to call in, but when Tanupa called in, I really need to confirm and back up what he's saying, because I feel like from my experience in my local Texas experience here, I have firmly believed that colonializers brought in the teachings, Christianity, which teaches against people of two spirits, gay, anybody of that, you know, gender, same gender, and they're teaching their children scripturally how to be against it. So I don't think these parents are going to be trying to necessarily talk their children out of being standing up for what they really believe. And and you know, there's a lot of things done and that they think God is on their side, and they teach their children this. And churches are literally splitting up and moving away from, they're so afraid that they're going to have a gay pastor sent to them by their global church. So have you heard of this? And, you know, it's very real right now. So I don't think you're going to have to be there.
Yeah, you know, let's have Kelly respond to that. And Kelly, Jen makes a really good point. And just in some of these communities in our country now, just how deep-seated the animosity and hatred is towards two-spirit people. And where does that fit into our discussion today? Because that, to me, almost it extends beyond bullying now into just, you know, that whole area of just hatred. What are your thoughts, Kelly?
Yes, you know, I agree fully with what Mark had mentioned about bullying and it being from colonization. So is acts of violence and sexual assault. All those things are our family, our relatives' experience when they were in boarding school, and if they went when they went back to their communities. Because they had been so abused and they lost language, they lost culture, that they brought those things back with them. And so that includes our two-spirit people. Our two-spirit people were basically put in the closet many, many years ago. And so people are afraid of what they don't know. And they're afraid of that it may affect them in a negative way. And so we have a lot of hatred just based on fear, whether they are a part of our LGBT two-spirit community or not.
All right. Hatred or fear of what they don't know. Kelly, that's such a good point. And Stephanie, I want to go back to you. We've got about another minute here before we have to wrap up the show. But as we learned about earlier, with regard to Next Benedict, their parents did try and advocate, did go to the school. They didn't get the kind of response that they would have probably been most beneficial. So what advice do you have for parents that are dealing with the bullying issue and they're just not getting a response from a school? They're just not able to connect. What are they need to do?
Absolutely. So I'm not sure in the Next Benedict case if it went as far as going to the school district
or superintendent. That would be my next recommendation, or even getting a tribal liaison, if possible, from your tribal community to go to the school district. The more people you have on board with support, I believe the higher the outcome can be in terms of the betterment. But I also recommend for parents that just be there for your child. It's easier said than done. But I know as somebody who's close to my parents are my first best friends. They're my first best friends coming into this world. And there's nothing like parent love for a child who's going through something difficult and feels alone. So being there for your children, connecting them with other resources outside of the school, whether that be counseling services, resources like We Are Native, where they can connect with other Native youth who understand what they're going through and can relate to them. So just building that connection of resources and support as a parent.
All right. Well, Stephanie, thank you for joining our show, along with our other guest today, Dr. Mark Standing Eagle Bays, and also Kelly Blair. This has been a really enlightening conversation on a tough topic here at Native America Calling. And I do hope you join us again tomorrow, listeners. We'll be having a similar discussion about persistent racism in North Dakota high school sports. Until then, I'm your host, Sean Spruce.
Support provided by Amerind. Amerind is 100% tribally owned and partners with tribes and their businesses to provide affordable commercial insurance coverage, protect tribal sovereignty, and strengthen Native American communities by helping to keep dollars in Indian country. Information about property, liability, commercial auto, and workers' comp available at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
OCO, celebrate National Nutrition Month. Choose healthier food options for you and your loved ones. Sometimes it can be difficult to make good food choices, but there are many resources that can help. For more information, visit ihs.gov/diabetes or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.